This is Real Talk, where all walks of life come together for thoughtful, constructive conversation. No arguments, no debate, just transparency. I'm John Warden, and this is Real Talk. Good morning, everyone, and happy Father's Day weekend. I hope the dads and dads-to-be and maybe fathers are up in heaven or having a wonderful time, but I hope you're all gathering together and planning on seeing each other and having great conversations, sharing some memories, and just being who you are in today's society. But my name is John Warden, and I have the pleasure today of a very unique situation that most men or fathers don't get the opportunity. I have in the room with me three of my seven children. My three older boys, and they're not boys no more, they're men. To my right is John H. Warden IV. He has the unfortunate, in some situations, ability and cause to be named after me and being a namesake, all the way from my grandfather down to where he is. And so he carries that around. And we've got the fifth at home, which is his son. In front of me is my son, Seth Adam. And to my left is Jacob. He's also the one you'll know. He's been on before on Real Talk, and he gives us the productivity here. He's what makes all the buttons work and all the things happen. So, again, under somewhat of maybe a little duress amongst some of them, they're here today. We're going to sit and kind of talk and smile our way through, and we're going to talk about dads. Now, this isn't about edifying me or how they are or what I've done or what I haven't done. Because as a father out there, if you're listening, and I'm sure you ladies can attest, dads are always doing things that brings up question marks. I guess men were just labored with the inability of, as my father used to put it, you just won't do right. Well, my dad and I were, speaking of fathers, we're very close. We worked together very close, knitted for years, shared Pepsi Colas when we didn't have the money to split them up. And so the work ethics and the things that I gathered, first and foremost, I got to tell you, comes from him. Many times on the show, you'll hear us listen or you'll hear me mention him and the algorithms and the sayings and that come back to memory. And I'm sure we've all got that as we reminisce on this program and through this time period on Father's Day. So the first thing I want to talk about is just roundtable discussion. And again, it's about fatherhood in general. It's about fatherhood in general. We don't want to take and come, we're not out here to attack who is or who isn't. Again, this show, Real Talk, is not designed for anything more than communication. Real, honest, straightforward feelings of who and where we are. The goal is here to speak peace, bring peace, and maybe some advice, and hopefully somewhere in the midst of it, you can identify with some situations. You know, you can always sit around and wonder what's the best advice you ever got from your dad. So I'm going to read a little something here, as I normally do on Real Talk, just as for topics of conversation. But and you can agree or disagree with this, so ponder this in your own mind out there in the world while you're enjoying your morning coffee. The best advice from a dad often distills complex situations down to a few universal truths. Across countless generations and cultures, the timeless wisdom focuses on a few core themes: accountability, emotional resilience, and financial responsibility. Now, if you go look up in the world of dads and responsibility and fathers, you're going to see those things wrote. Now, the emotional aspects, the spiritual aspects, and the endearing of children and what you want to do and what you impel in them and what you want to plant in them, then you pray and hope with love the seeds are going to grow them in a direction. So, again, leading to the forum in the room, I'm going to start with my son. I call him Jack. He's John Harrison Warden IV. And the first thing I'm going to say is consistency is everything. Jack, introduce yourself and give us an opinion of consistency.
Hello, I'm John Warden IV, and I'm going to talk about consistency a little bit in a kind of a way of investment. So when you're talking about your financial investments, you look at investments in terms of, they always say this phrase of time in the market versus timing the market. And so I'm going to use that is that same kind of phrase for your children, for fathers in relationships with their children. It's sometimes about the consistent time with your family, time with your children, that makes all the difference. It's sometimes not timing when to be there with the children. Though I will say that, like, even in investing financially, in that emotional investment with your children, it also is important that the time you spend with them gives you the opportunity to time those critical moments in their lives when they need you to be there or have something special from you, saying, like, I love you at a certain moment, or that special hug, or that special gift that you can provide for them. So that's the way I see consistency, is just time with them and spending time with them and trying to keep your emotions in check as men.
Absolutely.
We can take discipline, and we can take that a little far. We can get angry, we can get frustrated, we can get, you know, all those things. We're men, and but it's when you know it, need to know to say you're sorry, and kind of just stay that in consistent pattern and stay level with them.
Well, I agree with that. You know, a comment here that says you can never bet against someone who just keeps showing up. And that is a powerful thing in the eyes of especially the young ones at home, the children. It was with you guys. I have four little ones at home. Harrison Wayne, which is a beautiful child. Caleb Jeremiah, oh boy, what a heart of a child. And Josiah William, that you just don't never know what that boy's going to do. And then I have my Millie Grace, my one and only little girl. And I'm going to tell you, one's enough because she is something. And so when I get home, they run to the door to greet me. They know daddy's coming home. They know that it's just a situation where it warms my heart after a long beat up day sometimes out here. But, and I know as Seth, you have son, four children, Jackie has three. We'll get into their names a little bit later and just talk through it. Jacob's,
I'm unqualified to be here.
He's unqualified as a dad right now, but he has dad tendencies because he has a lot of
little brothers.
He's got little brothers and cousins and nephews and all these things that look up to him like he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. One of the greatest things that I see around my house is, when is Jacob coming back? And that's a fatherly figure. You know, you don't have to have the DNA to be a father. There are a lot of consistencies that when you talk about that people will gravitate to you if you dedicate and spend time and love with them. And that's not just into the walls of your home or into the family. There's so many people get dedicated to that. You men around the table have big responsibilities. You've grown into these things. And on top of the rearing of the children and doing that, thank God you have wonderful wives that are able to take and maintain the presence and keep the, you know, it's a team effort, as I do, to keep them in proximity and keep things organized until you can get in there and join in and help. Seth, what's your idea of consistency, son, when it comes to parenting or when it comes to, what advice would you give or what have you seen works for you?
I have a father of four sons. And consistency to me has always been something I found very important in my life, and to demonstrate to my children. I try to always be there, show up in moments of recognition, sporting events, when they're going through something difficult. I always try to be there to demonstrate to them that, hey, if anything ever comes up, they ever run into a problem, hopefully I've demonstrated to them that, hey, dad's always going to be there. They know they always got someone to back them up, to be in their corner, to be someone they can call. So I think as a father, being that solid rock, that foundation, someone they can always turn to, I think is very important to me, something I've always tried to demonstrate to my kids.
Yeah, I was always struck by how, this is a different kind of consistency, I guess, but the way every time I go to your house, and then my nephews are there, and then it's like the discipline and consistency of like getting them to bed at 8:30 exactly on the dot. And you're always really good about that kind of stuff. So, I just think that's another kind of thing to bring up. And I guess, I don't know if this value is talking about this idea of like, is it your, is it saying, hey, I'm preaching consistency as a virtue in my children? Or is it consistency of, does that make sense? Like, is it, hey, be consistent? Or is it consistency in discipline or encouraging? Or does that make sense?
It does. And I think one of the things
which one is it, I guess?
Well, and I think it's a valid point, because you don't want to dictate so much as you are. You're teaching them in the way that they shall go, and you're hoping they won't depart. One of the things that we have to take and understand in terms of, and what I've found to be successful, and you boys will attest, you men will attest around the room, that at times I was very hard and sometimes deemed to be unreasonable. And it really wasn't the point of being hard or wanting to be that, was to saying that have to and want to are two different things. And when you can join those two together, success breeds afterwards. I don't believe that. And in the final say of it all, to get them understanding that the responsibility becomes theirs. And one of the next, you know, points of ponder is take responsibility. Well, you're teaching your children that. And in general, children are freelance, and you love to see their spirit and watch them in my own, and watch my nephews, my grandsons, my everything that I've been around. You boys growing up, I got to tell you that to watch your free spirit and to watch your individualism. And so as a parent, we have to bounce between what is the nature that works with this child. It was different with you three. It was very different. And it was, each one of you have your own unique personality traits, responsibilities. You took some discipline different with ones than other. Seth was always the one, if I must do, that I had to get on the most. But yet at the same time, the consistency wasn't, it was just his nature. He just wanted to be in play. As he sits before me today, in some ways, he's probably the most stable in some ways. And so that's just, it's not a attack on anything. It's just, and it wasn't something that was a negative towards who he was. It was just a mannerism of having to take and treat each child and work with them individually. And it's not just your own children. It's, you know, you men have four small siblings at home that of mine at my house that adore you. All they talk about are their brothers and their sister. My Millie thinks Jack walks on water. And so she's just like, when is my brother Jack coming back to see me? I like him. And so the influence that you have in any situation, and it is your children at home, it is the consistency. And Seth, I got to concur on that. You've been Johnny on the spot and everything you can, as Jack, I've seen you do with the sports and all those things. And I think that before mentioned, showing up and saying that there's a presence, and it's like in our world, you know, as you grew up in the men and you guys got out of the house, it became a situation where I wanted to teach you responsibility. I raised you to leave, not stay. I raised you to get you in a position to put you out on your point. Sometimes it wasn't easy for me to do that, but the heart desires and manners is to put you in a position to succeed. Now, we're all operating our own businesses, you know, and to God be the glory for that, and the presence that the community has loved us enough to accept us for who we are and what we're doing. And I don't want to get off theme here, but it does work as we work so well together. And now we're beginning to incorporate inside of this the grandchildren. My grandchildren are coming in, and Jack, you've got your son there working close with you, and Chance coming along, and Mona Ann, beautiful grandchildren, and just, but yet these are becoming and are men and women now. These are ones that we have to put them in a position to succeed, and as fatherhood, isn't that really what we're about? When you say that in terms of responsibility, Jacob, you were making that comment about the consistency aspects of discipline, yes, but that discipline has to fall with them and put it in a position to self-control themselves and garner themselves and gather their thoughts in a corrective manner, and then put them in a position to where they can just fly. There's a difference between training a dog and then a bird dog, if you will, and then you teach them these things, but at the moment it's out in the field, does it know what to do? And so there's the fatherhood thing, and we haven't gotten into the love and the emotional aspects. It's men, we're more physical attributes. Let's go teach them to make a living. Let's go teach them to take care of things, to be responsible. But yet we'll get into the emotional.
So I agree with what Jacob's saying a little bit with, and you're saying as well, the consistency being more, maybe a better term being disciplined. Maybe that being the actual term that we should use.
Consistency, because consistency could be bad. It's like, don't consistently.
Yeah, don't be consistently. To do the wrong thing, do something else.
Correct. That could be both ways.
But what I'm talking about in discipline, I think in the Bible it says that God disciplines those He loves,
and so
He chastises, disciplines, however you want to term that. But that, I think that gets into the idea of, as a father, you got to obviously set the moral standard, the ethical standard of your home, and I think this gets into the emotional part of it too. And I think creating those standards, you know, creates a balance, an emotional balance for your children that that they can live on and inject into their lives and promote into their lives. But what I think it also talks about is the other side of the coin. And I think, Dad, I think you want to speak to this since you've got some babies, and Seth will also, he's got some younger children. My children are 20, 18, and 16, so I don't have young kids anymore. But is the idea of spoiling. We spoil our children. We give them too much sometimes. We do too much. We love them, and we think we're doing that out of a condition of love. And I think we are doing it out of a condition of, to be clear. But sometimes is that not affecting their discipline? Is that not affecting it? Because, like we said, the Bible
says—
their development. The Bible says God disciplines or chastises those He loves, and in that same condition, sometimes are we overdoing it, and especially in today's society when it seems like everything's accessible, every ease of information, it's easy to throw a phone or a camera, a computer or a controller in front of a kid and just say, hey, take your time over there, spend some time out, mom and dad need a break. So I just want to give your thoughts, Seth. Dad, what's your thoughts on that spoiling aspect in terms of versus discipline?
Seth, I'm going to let you speak to that, son.
Well, discipline to me, I think, just going back a second, when you talked about consistency and discipline, and you briefly spoke on morality, and I think something we haven't touched on, but to me as a father, I think one of the most important foundations, one of the most important things we can demonstrate and teach our children is the basis of morality. And I think that that comes from consistency. So your children watch you. Your children watch you every day. They watch you how you handle situations. And to see you consistently demonstrate morality and the type of morality you want them to replicate, I think that's essential. That, to me, that's one of the core fundamentals to me as of being a father. I want to demonstrate consistently good morality so that they emulate that.
I agree with you. And I think that what you're saying is absolutely 100%, because sometimes it's your actions that they're emulating more than your words. I mean, words are sometimes cheap, especially if your actions don't line up with what your words are. So
kids are smart
important.
Enough to realize the difference, and they'll start to understand.
And I think so that basis of consistency that Seth's talking about is super important, and his actions. And he shows it like Jacob said. Seth is, I'm on the phone with him sometimes at night. We're just talking and chatting, and he's like, I got to go put the kids to bed. it's always like that with him, and that's great.
Well, I think, too, gentlemen, and this is the hard part. When you start talking about discipline and morality and all these things are taught. They're exampled. You know, I used to see a lot of times on a church bulletin, it says, you know, the people don't read their Bibles. They read you and me. Well, that's compounded a million times when it comes to children. They simply know by the sensitivities, the fruits of the Spirit. It's your feelings. It's your love. It's your faith, it's your understanding, what you demonstrate, what you hold in priority. As children, they may not necessarily agree. In fact, you can expect that. You can expect them. You, of all sitting in the room growing up, there were things you never really could kind of understand. And I'm not saying that I was a perfect father, by no means. I did a lot of things wrong. But through God's grace, you're setting before me as fine young men that you are. and you're raising those. And that is all I could ever ask for. And but in the prospects of that, there were times where we weren't friends. And I think one of the hardest things you have to find with a consistency when it comes to rearing children or being a father and a dad, the aspect of it is you don't necessarily at this time in their life and their consistency can be friends. It's not that you don't want to have communication with them, because I believe you cannot influence who you cannot communicate with. If you can't talk and you can't open up conversation, you men all know I'm a very direct person when it comes to things that need to be said. A lot of that's time restraints. A lot of that is the same thing that we're talking about here. You have to give them, and you have to give a measure of a standard of some type of morality, a standard, whatever you want to call it, that says that these are the don't do's, these are the have to's. You know, in today's world, you can contact any of your children with cell phones and text messages, and you can give them instructions. Most, when I grew up, my father looked me in the eye, and basically, and I've said it on this program before, I'll tell you what you're going to do, and I'll tell you what you're not going to do.
And then they sent telegrams.
And well, it might have been, could have been a pair of carrier pigeons. So, you know, in those days, it might have been a flare. But you knew if mama yelled or daddy yelled to come home, you came home. We're talking fatherhood, and it's and then the aspects of it when it comes to when we grow into that, and it doesn't change. You know, I thank God for what I'm sitting in front of me. I couldn't be. I swell up with pride with you all and my children at home. And I think to myself that, you know, again, by God's grace and your mother, let's be real, and all of the parts that she implored into it, as my wife at home and the mother she is to these children, nothing is done individually. So fathers out there and dads out there, as we sit in the room, without your wives and the women and the constant surrounding of a community of people, now sometimes that's through church, that's through friends, that's through the consistencies of what we're talking about. Nobody gets all the credit and nobody gets all the blame, but at the same time, as fathers, our responsibilities are, you know, the character issues, the things, fear. You can't be afraid to take a stand. You know, these are just some of the items that we've talked about. You got to prioritize long-term value, but you can't impose, and what I've never tried to do is impose on you all my long-term, you're going to do this and this and this. It was presenting you with the opportunities, and yet here we are working in a business that's growing and thriving, and a lot of the reasons that all these things are successful is your efforts. Now, as I sit around the table and I look to my left is Jacob. He's got immense talents beyond what he ever got from his daddy. He just grew into his own personal freedom, and he flew and loved the creative activities. He's got his own little business that does, you know, videographies and audio things, and he's a master at shooting things. I look in front of me to Seth. He loves running. He's fit as a fiddle, and yet this is a man who, with no schooling or training, has taught himself to build computers. And to my right, I'm just touching on some attributes here that has nothing to do with dad. I would say, and I've got Jack, who speaks, I don't know how many languages and how many fluencies in Hispanic language. Do you still speak Portugal?
Portuguese?
Yeah. No, it's Portugal to me, because I don't even know what that is, Portuguese.
I speak some, yeah.
Fatherhood and being who we are is about who can relate. How can we discipline? How can we walk in ways to where we don't have to take and manage our what we're responsible for. Our greatest treasure, and the Bible says this, if you want to see a rich man, it's the heritage of his children. As I sit here as a father today and I look around the room, I couldn't be more compounded with wealth. And when I think about my children at home that hopefully one day will be in this room, I got to tell you that, you know, again, from a father's point of view, you know, it's Father's Day, and dads want to be celebrated and all this other. Well, I got to tell you, the greatest celebration for me on this Father's Day is to be able to look in the eyes of the men in this room and to go home and see my children and know that my wife is backing me in the disciplines and in the raising and for all the things that we can do, and as has been the case throughout the years. And so I got to tell you, that this is a personal real talk. because I can look into the room here and I could see the success, not as I deem success. I see grounded. I see firm in their convictions, whatever those are. I see them honoring and taking the path that God's give them, because the plans are made for them. Not Dad's plan, their plan. And we've been able to come together, and there were times in our life we talked through it where there wasn't a lot of friendships at times. Where because, you know, Jack, for a while, you're about raising a family and building a business and doing your things, and you had to do what you had to do. And we even talked through that, son. Dad's here. You just do what you've got to do, but always know. Seth, you know, the same thing as we get out here now, and when you're running divisions of this company that are just growing leaps and bounds, and Jacob the same way. We don't always get to talk that day. We're there and we're in the same building. We don't get the same consistency. But and you all touched on something very early on that I will have to say that is the most valuable thing. It was some advice that my father gave me a long time ago. And he said to me, and I look you in the eyes as I look around the room and I tell you this, man. He said, real simple. Son, if nobody else will go down the road with you, you call me and I'll go. And I think that's what you've instilled in your children. That's what I'm hearing here today, and that makes me most proud. I can't look at you and tell you how much I love you and I admire you, each one of you. This is from a father to a son's. Dad's not looking for adoration today. You've shown me by honoring me. That's all I can ask. But I can tell you, I'm in awe of each and every one of you, sincerely. Impel that in your children and in the people you have influence over. Don't stop taking it just to your home. Take it to the world. The show is Real Talk. Good morning, everybody, and happy Father's Day. Real Talk is sponsored by Champion Services Incorporated, your local remodel and restoration company, and the Red Door Church. If you're interested in sponsorship or you have a story you want to share or want to be a part of this program, contact us at reachus.realtalkradio@gmail.com.